Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Ann.
And I'm Kendra, and you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. Hey, thanks for joining us. We have an amazing community of people, and we love connecting with you. We love praying with you. If you're new to the show, we are a show for couples struggling with infertility or miscarriage, and we just want to encourage you to cling to Christ through whatever struggles and challenges come your way, because He is more than enough. And of course, our show is expanded to talk about all different things about building your family, motherhood, parenting, adopting, foster care, fertility treatments, all of the things.
Yeah.
And hey, if you do want to connect with us, Hannah's Heart at AFA.net. Go to Hannah's Heart at AFA.net. You can email us. We love to hear your prayer requests, your show suggestions, and any thoughts you might have for us.
That's right. So we have a returning guest on today, Emmy Chavers. She came on, and last week, if you heard the episode, she kind of went into the backstory of what we're going to be talking about today. So if you have time, I encourage you to go back and listen to that sometime to understand her heart behind the ministry that we're going to talk about today. But Emmy, do you want to give us just a short little recap of what we discussed?
Yes. So I have two children. I have Jack that is five. And he has special needs. He has autism and tank 2. And then I have a typical child that's 9, Kaysen. And we just really talked about life with a child with a disability and going through the seasons of how to get a diagnosis and how hard it was for us. But then also parenting a child with a typical parenting a typical child and just the struggles that that brings.
That's right.
And Anne, you talked about at the beginning of the last show just how whether it's infertility or miscarriage, sometimes you go to fostering, adoption, disabilities, you have a different vision in mind of what you think your family is going to look like. And there's that like moment where you have to surrender and lay down. This isn't what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Lord often has something so much better for us than we ever could have imagined.
Yeah. And Emmy did speak on that.
Yeah.
You almost have to go through a little while to grieve the life, the family that you thought were going to look like, you know, because you don't ever think. I mean, I honestly thought about this the other day after we had talked. I never did think child loss was going to be part of my story,
you know.
And, of course, if you could change that, you would. But you cannot. And so it's what you do with it.
Mm-hmm. Specifically knowing how to love and support families that struggle with disabilities, I think is important because of how much they are on the rise. Yeah. We were just talking about this before we hit record.
Yeah.
You know, autism specifically, when you look at the rates of how, I think it's just in a few years they expect it to be the typical, not the atypical.
Right.
And there's so many.
That's more the norm.
If you know a parent who has a child with autism, I'd be curious what your thoughts were of parents with kids with disabilities before you became one. You know, my heart always goes out to them, and I'm just like, I don't even know how to help you. I just know that that must be very difficult, and that you need people to come around you and be a force of encouragement.
Because it's hard. We say you need a village with any typical kids because kids are hard.
Yeah. Hard.
Even after, you know, and I know that might be hard to hear as you're sitting maybe on the other side of this, like, but I'm desiring these babies that y'all are talking about. Mm-hmm. And that is hard too. When the babies get here, it's just a different heart.
Yeah.
And so that is why I wanted to have you on, just to raise awareness too of like what we as people that aren't involved maybe in the disability community, what we can do to help. And so you had this strong on your heart. I want to know about the ministry that you started, because it seems like it's going strong. And I think it would be really neat. We're talking about a local thing here in North Mississippi, but, you know, you might be able to give people ideas of all around America that listen to this, how they could get involved and do something like this for their community.
Yeah. So I'll kind of tell you the backstory on how Recess, which is the ministry, got started. Part of having a child with a disability that you don't realize is something that very much is just the lack of things for them to be involved in. You know, the lack of, just inclusion. And it's not just in schools, and it's not just, you know, everywhere, but it's also in church. And that's something that I really struggled with. And just, you know, it's like, and not that you just said something about we don't know how, or I don't know how to get involved, or, you know, whatever. And I think that that's the same on a lot of people. And it's until you live it, you don't know. And so we, through Jack Thomas's, I say through like his hardest times, and then, you know, we go through another show. I'm like, okay, maybe this is our hardest times. But what I look back on and think is like one of our hardest seasons, in the middle of just like, how does he fit in? How do I make sure that he's always included? How do I make sure that he gets what every other child gets? You know, how do I make sure he gets to sit through Sunday school, even though he's not a typical child, and he's not going to sit down and do the coloring sheet and listen to the lesson and eat his snack perfectly, you know? But I still want him to be there, and I still want him to be involved. I want to be involved. And at one point, that looked like me sitting at home because there was nothing for him. And that was hard, you know. And so we went as a family to Hope Hills Camp. I don't know if you've ever heard of Hope Hills or Catherine Wolf, but they have an amazing story. And so it's a camp for families that have anybody in the family with a disability. So some of it was the kids, the parents, the sibling, you know, it just is a wide variety. It's not just the child with a disability. And so this had been really heavy on my heart, just like, how do I bring something into church for him? You know, how do I, and it's not, what I found out is it's not the, you know, people don't want to not accommodate. Cause I told my mom one day, I was like, this is hard. Like, this is a church I grew up in my entire life. Like, how do I look at this and say, my child isn't thriving? You know, like, there's not a lot for my child here. And when I came to find out that it's not the church, and it's not that they don't want to involve him, they don't know how. And I remember the children's minister of our church saying, this is not something we learned in ministry. Like, this is not something we learned in seminary. There was no, you know, this is nothing that we studied. This is nothing we were taught. I don't know how. Like, I don't know what to do. I'm naive. I don't even have kids. So I sure don't know how to, you know, give you what you need.
To get volunteers in general. Like, no ones that have special needs training.
I don't know. She was like, we want him to, you know, we want everything for you, whatever we can do. I just don't know where to start. And so when we went to Hope Hills Camp, there's days that there's different, like, things that you can go to, different little classes and stuff. And one was on starting a special needs ministry in church.
Love that.
And I was like, okay, this is me. Like, I arranged to CC's to get him both my kids during that, like, elective hour. And I was like, I'm going to this. And in my heart, this was going to be like, what can I do on Sunday mornings for my kid? You know, that's what I was really going into this for, and that's what I really wanted out of it. And when we got there, one of the first things she said, if you're looking for a Sunday morning ministry, this is not for you. And I was like, like, this is what I'm here for. What is this? You know, and so I was like, okay, I'm going to stay and listen because, you know, we'll see. But that is where I learned about 99 Balloons, which is what hosts Recess. And 99 Balloons was started from a family that had a child with a disability that lived 99 days. Their little boy's name was Elliot. And so the E in Recess is always capitalized for Elliot. And 99 Balloons comes from him living 99 days, and they always release 99 Balloons. And so they have a really incredible story, and they took their story and, you know, used it for good and made more out of it. And so Recess is a respite night for parents that have children with a disability. And so, and if you're wondering what respite is, because I remember thinking that in that meeting, like, okay, what exactly is respite? So, you know, foreign word, I don't know. But it's just a time of rest for parents that need it have children with a disability. You know, we all need that. And so we host it at First Baptist Church, and it's one Friday night a month. And we have a Facebook page and all the things where you can see the dates and all of that. And so it's one Friday night a month, and it's for 3 hours. And any parents that have children with disabilities, they get to drop off their child with a disability and the typical siblings.
Okay.
And so it's for the whole family, and it's for the parents to just get away for 3 hours. Some of them go have dinner. Some of them sleep in their cars. Some of them sit in the parking lot the whole time, and they don't ever leave because they want to be close. Yeah. Some go grocery shopping, you know, things that we take for granted that, you know, people can just run into any time. They have those 3 hours to get something done with no kids.
Because when you try to take a kid with a disability, sometimes in the grocery store.
Yeah. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so so it's 3 hours, one Friday night a month. It does take tons of volunteers to pull off. So every child that comes with a disability has a one-on-one buddy for the night.
Okay.
So every child has a one-on-one buddy for the night. And then the typical siblings are in a group called Foursquare. So they stay in the group with us all night, but then they also have an hour to themselves. So like the middle hour of the night, they go to the gym and they have Foursquare, which is just a way for them to get away for the night.
Yeah.
You know, they need the break too. And so they get away from the worry and the stress. And you know, I had a little girl one night was like, my aunt was helping with Foursquare, and she came up to me and she said, "Now I know why we do Foursquare." Mm. And I was like, "What?" And she said she just walked up to me and said, "Do you think my sister's okay?" She was like, "Yeah, she's fine." She was like, "Okay, well, I think I'll go to the gym." You know, but it's like not just us, like they have that constant worry.
Yeah.
You know, they carry a heaviness that comes along with it that you don't even realize.
Mm.
And so it's also a special night for them. My typical child, Kaysen, looks forward to this night every month.
Oh.
Last month he had a baseball tournament and like, y'all, he was distraught. Like, he loves it. And it's just a chance for him to connect with other siblings that are going through the same thing, you know, because at school and stuff, it is different. There's, you know, a lot of his friends don't have this and live this life and whatever, and it's just different. So it gives them that too. But it's grown a ton. I would say the first night we probably started out with maybe like 8 to 12 kids. I can't remember exactly. And I feel like I kind of had to like beg their parents to drop them off. You know, it was like, come on, leave your child with a disability with us. You know, this is our first night. We'll figure it out. To right now, I'm literally having to cut it off because of just the shortage of volunteers.
Okay.
But I would say on a good average night, we have around 50 kids.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And so...
So y'all need volunteers.
Yes, absolutely. Volunteers.
Okay.
Yes.
I just can't get over how life-giving this must be to the families. Mm-hmm. And there's a spiritual principle behind what you're talking about. As you've been talking, my heart's just been drawn to this passage in Corinthians that talks about the body of Christ being a unit.
Yeah.
And it says the body is a unit, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. And when one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And I'm going to get teared up just thinking about it, because some of the struggles that mamas with children with disabilities and daddies with children with disabilities go through, they are suffering, and they need the body of Christ to come and say, "You are seen, and we see your hurt." And, you know, if you hit your hand with a hammer, you don't have to think about what to do. That other hand
is gonna
immediately grabs that finger and and it's like, "I'm here with you."
Right.
It's not like you have to consciously be like, "Hey, go comfort your hand."
Right. Yeah.
Because you're connected to the body. The body knows what to do when one part is struggling
suffering. Kendra, man.
And we need to do that. Like, this is not just, "Oh, they need a night off. Well, I'd like a night off." Because,
we all need a night off.
This is a specific need that is facing the body of Christ right now.
Yeah.
And if we don't step up, family, like if they can't turn to Christ and the body of Christ for help,
who are they
going to go to?
Right.
My brother is a pastor in Texas, and they started a ministry within their church, a one-on-one special needs ministry for parents. And it has been amazing. Of course, churches aren't just about numbers, and we want to get as many people in the door. But it has been amazing how this ministry has brought people from that will drive.
Because they had a place to go.
There is nowhere
such a ministry
for you to go. They will come. If you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
And it's just an unserved people group within the body of Christ.
Yes.
And we can't just put our heads in the sand anymore and say, "Well, we're just not equipped. We'd love to, but we can't." Mm-hmm. At my church, we have a slogan that we say every Sunday about how every single person deserves to be loved and ministered to, regardless of, and then we list off like all of the things.
Yeah.
And I work in our drama department. And so I made a commitment. I was like, if we say that and we mean it, then any child who signs up to be in our Christmas production, like if you're in a, you know, power wheelchair, we're going to figure out how to get you on that stage and get you doing these motions. Yeah. And we had somebody in a power wheelchair come and we had to figure out how to move them. We had a child that came with, he was deaf. And I know a very little bit of sign language, but I had, and his parents did not know sign language. I had to try to figure out how to communicate to this kid. And we had to give him like visual cues so that he could do it. Y'all, this is embarrassing. About four practices in, like the kids were all giggling and I'm like trying very hard with my limited sign language to communicate to this child. And then like, apparently I had the wrong child and he was like sitting down and it was like his brother looking at me like, I can hear you.
Like,
why are you doing this? And I was like, oh wait, sorry.
Wrong kid.
You come over here. We're gonna figure this out. But we have a whole troop that we call our Mountaineers that are autistic.
Yeah.
And let me just tell you, our church loves them. And you might think, oh, it makes it so much more difficult. But that is what the body of Christ is about inclusion.
Yeah.
If the body of Christ can, I mean, when Christ said that he died for all, I mean, that is John 3:16, the verse that we probably the first verse you've ever learned.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
If he didn't come for all of the world, then the whole Bible is meaningless.
Yeah.
Right.
Because all of us deserve, well, not deserve, all of us Christ died for.
Yeah.
And that's so important. I have our one more story and then I'll kick it back to you for more tips.
Get right ahead.
One of my sweet little, she's a part of my family. I call her family. She was an angel in one of our dramas. And she walked on the stage with her little house shoes, her little flip-flops on. She forgot to take them off. We had her center stage because we were like, we're going to show off our Mountaineers.
Yeah.
Forgets and decides to fling her shoes into the audience. The audience just lost it.
You know, that's the best part of the whole thing.
It was. Yeah. I was like, you just enriched our lives so much
and
brought so much joy in 10 seconds.
Well, the innocence that is still there.
So innocent.
So innocent that I feel like we could honestly learn from them. Mm-hmm. You know, like nothing, I hate to say nothing is a big deal because I know some things I'm like can be such a big deal, but like your Jack is happy.
Happy. Mm-hmm. He knows.
He's so happy.
Different. Yeah.
Yeah.
My mom says all the time, she's like, I say he just lives in his own little world. And she's like, sometimes I wish I could go to it. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I wish I could be there.
And he's made in the image of God and has a soul.
Yeah.
Like, right. There is a spiritual implication to that.
Yeah.
When someone has a soul, it is up to us to figure out how to bring the gospel to them.
Yeah.
And that tangibly looks a lot different for each individual, I'm sure.
Well, you say that, and this kind of goes back to the beginning of our story and kind of gets us a little off. But I remember the day that I got Jack's diagnosis, and I remember literally going home and laying in bed and just crying.
Mm-hmm.
And my aunt came over, and she was like, Emmy, get up. And I was like, I need to, like, take this in. She's like, you got to get out of bed. Like, you got to get up. What are you going to do about it? And I was like, I know. And she was like, I want to ask you this. Like, is this something you've ever thought of? And she was like, God made Jack.
Mm.
And I was like, I know. And she was like, do you know something you'll probably never have to worry about with him? And she said, what's the most important thing that we worry about with our kids? And I was like, I don't know. And she was like, their salvation. Mm. And she was like, that's something you're never going to have to worry about. Because he's got him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, and he made him this way. Mm-hmm. And he made him this way for a reason and for a purpose. And he's got him. That's something you never have to worry about.
Well, the gospel is not dependent upon our intellectual ability to understand it. Even though there's some things in the Bible that you have to study and know history to break down, there's this element of God coming for all that, like, he literally is like, if you are in a coma, if you have a child that cannot speak, the Holy Spirit can still minister to their spirit.
Right.
Cries out to the Spirit of God, and they can still have that walk in relationship with him.
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing.
Yes.
I would definitely choose to have John Micah here, but to know that, like, he was in the Savior's arms, he never knew any different, you know? And such peace that, you know, we can find in that. And, like, what a holy way to look at Jack's situation, a way to find thankfulness in your hard days. Because
and it's hard to look at in that moment, you know, in that moment of grief. That's not
right
at the, you know, that's not what you're thinking about at the time. Mm-hmm. You're thinking about all the grief and the what ifs and the what does my future look like. You know, it's not that has to. You know, I would
it
never
has to come.
Yeah,
Yeah. Right, right. And no, that's a good point to make because, yeah, I'm sure at first diagnosis or in death and loss just feels like that, death, loss, and such a heavy diagnosis to take on. And then to realize my son's never going to look like what I thought.
He
might not get married. He might, you know, what is his graduation going to look like? Yeah. Will he ever drive? You know, those kind of things, I'm sure, you know, can still hit you daily sometimes of like, I haven't thought about this, you know. Our sweet Nora, she laughed for the first time a few weeks ago. And it made me cry because I hadn't thought that I would never hear John Michael laugh. I knew I wouldn't ever hear him cry, but I hadn't thought about the fact I wasn't going to ever hear him laugh. And so, yeah, just those grief, you know, can still come and hit you. Even though I know your Jack's here, and I'm not trying to talk about him like he's not. But, you know, the dailies of realizing, like, okay, life isn't going to look like what I thought it was going to look like.
You know, and I think one moment that hit me, and you've asked me a lot about Kaysen and what it's like raising a son with a typical – that is typical versus having Jack and this always brings chills to me when I tell it, but I took him with me to drop off Jack at his ABA therapies one day. And at the time they had like a older side to the center and with older kids with autism diagnoses that were there for therapy just like Jack was. And Kaysen usually never went to drop offs, but it was in the summer and so he was with me and we dropped him off, and we were picking up. And as we were picking up, some of the older kids were coming out to get in the car. And Kaysen said, "Mama, what are they doing here?" And I was like, "What?" And he was like, "Why are they here? They're old. They're grown." And I was like, "Yeah." And it had never hit me until then that, like, he didn't realize this was a forever thing.
Man.
And I said, "Baby, this is how God made Jack. This is forever for us. You know, like, he's going to change, absolutely. He's going to learn, and he's going to adapt, and but this is always Jack. And I remember just looking in the back and little tears just streaming down his face. And he was like, "Is he ever going to play with me? Is he ever going to talk to us?" And I'm like, "I don't know." You know, but that was like that, this is forever. You
so
know?
That is even Kaysen having to go through grief of his brother looks a lot different than what you would normally
get. Than what his best friend's brother looks like. You know, like it's just different.
Goodness.
And so, you know, but it's...
That's heavy stuff.
Well, it's not the same situation at all, but I have a husband with a disability, and my daughter, I've wondered a lot, what is that going to look like for having somebody in the family with a disability? And even though there's a lot of things my husband can't do, I just keep coming back to the fact that she every day sees lived out the fact of how difficult some things are for him and how he perseveres and how he leans on the Lord. And she's going to have that as an example.
That's right.
And so I just think about Kaysen, you know, there's going to be a grace that he carries through life.
Yes.
It's going to empower him to love people better because he has Jack as a brother.
Right. Yeah.
And it's that's like his superhero status.
Yeah.
He might think this is the thing that makes me different, you know, but this is going to be the thing that God uses as a platform in his life to put the gospel on display and to show that Jesus is sufficient and he's enough and he can get you through. And and I just can't help but tear up thinking about the opportunities that he may have to share the gospel because of Jack.
Well, it's just opened up so much. And one last quick little thing, and I'll tell you, this is kind of where the recess and all this has came from. And I've also kind of working on some other things behind the scenes that I'm excited about. But a couple years ago, we were at a Shine event, and my dad, I talked him into coming. I was like, "You just got to come. Like, you just got to come." And it was an Easter egg hunt for families that had kids with disabilities. And I was there, of course, with Jack, but then I was loving on the other kids, you know, and I was just like, that's right in my, you know, right where I wanted to be. And we went to my house after I was redoing a house, and he came over, my dad did, and you have to know my dad. He's not a crier. Like, he's, you know, whatever. And he's also a recovering alcoholic. And so I feel like for a lot of Kaysen's life, he wasn't as involved. And he had just become sober when Jack was born. So this was, like, the first grandkid that he was really, like, all involved. In for, which was amazing. And so he came to my house after, and I looked over, and he just started crying. And I was like, "What is it?" And he was like, "You know, I've always really struggled with why God would do this to you. Like, why would he give you Jack? Why you? Like, I don't understand that. Why you in a divorce, and why are you having to deal with all this? I don't understand. I've always struggled. I love Jack, but I've always struggled why God would do this to you in a sense. Mm-hmm. And he was like, after today, I know. And he was like, seeing today and seeing all those kids and seeing you with Jack Thomas and seeing you with them, he was like, I know why God gave you this. Mm. And it was like in that moment, I was like, whew, you know, like, this is my purpose. And I do truly feel like, you know, I wonder all the time. And I do still wonder why God gave me Jack. You know, there's days that I'm like, whew, I don't know if I'm equipped for this. Mm.
He entrusted and I'm you not, with it.
But he is equipping
me.
And he
equipped you. I love it. Right.
And so, so that is really just like planted seeds for a lot of things, you know, that I hope will come out of it and that I can minister to others through Jack's story and encourage other moms that are going through similar things.
The scripture says that my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. And I just see that on display in your life, that I can't think about how hard some things must be, but then there's so much strength that comes as you speak. And I know it's the grace of the Lord on your life. So
absolutely.
Thank you for being on again and sharing your story.
It was so fun.
It was so fun. Thank you so much, Emmy. And we look forward to seeing y'all next week on Hannah's Heart. Mm-hmm.